Last time on Jonathan Park and the Race for Space.
As Miles Standish led those original pilgrims to a new frontier, so I intend to lead a team of explorers through the Earth's atmosphere for the first privately sponsored spacewalk.
You mean the Starwalker Prize?
Exactly.
How would some of your team like to walk 300 miles above Los Angeles?
Huh?
You heard me. I'd like you to be the first civilians to take a spacewalk.
Wow! That's amazing! Wow.
Now, a screwdriver in the right spot. Good. Oh, ex nihilo, if you only knew that the speedwell will sink like a stone. There.
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the Race for Space.
Alexander, I can't believe the scope of your operations here. It's amazing.
Well, Jim, welcome to our ex nihilo Mojave, California headquarters. These aeronautical facilities are filled with some of the best engineers in the world.
Mr. DeMarcus, it's good to have you back, sir.
Thank you, Charlie. Good to be back. Hunter, how's the paint job coming?
She'll be the most beautiful spaceship ever seen.
That's what I wanted to hear. Good job. By the way, I have a big surprise for you later, Creation Response Team.
That's very kind of you.
But for now, I need to focus on my team for a couple of minutes.
Also, we have our first press conference coming up in just a couple of hours.
That's right. Okay, I'll see you shortly.
All right, bye.
Okay, gentlemen. Let's test that landing gear again. There was a hesitation on the left wheel.
Hello, Simon.
Mr. DeMarcus. Good to see you again, sir. Did you get all the fish you were looking for?
Almost more than we had room for. I even brought you that lobster you wanted.
Oh, thank you, sir. The missus will be cooking a fine supper in your honor.
Hey, I don't want the wheel off. I want it greased.
Excuse me, sir.
Mr. DeMarcus, the chemical engineering team is in the next room, sir.
Very well, Stan. Send them in.
Okay, team. Mr. DeMarcus, we'll see you now.
Gentlemen, I need to hear good news.
I'm afraid we don't have much. Sir, we've tried for weeks to duplicate Dr. Berger's special hybrid rocket fuel, but we can't get the thrust he achieved. Without being able to talk to him directly, I'm not sure how...
How far below the optimum rate of Berger's fuel are we?
30.7%.
You must be joking. You're all the best chemists in the country, and we're over 30% off?
Well, sir, Dr. Berger was onto something we just can't replicate without his formula.
Let's continue to pray for his recovery, both for his family's sake and ours. Have you turned his lab upside down? Without the formula, that spacecraft is too heavy, and the thrust too low to reach the correct altitude for our spacewalk.
I hate to bring this up right now, sir, but it appears that Rocket Ship 1 is close to their qualifying flight in Utah.
What? How's that possible? I thought they were fighting a major design flaw.
Yes, ironically, they also had a fuel issue. In a major blunder, their contractor designed their tanks much too small. It's like they were basing their design somewhat on ours.
I thought our design was a secret.
Apparently not.
Yes, our tanks were smaller because of the more efficient fuel designed by Berger, but they didn't have Berger's formula, so they were stuck without sufficient fuel capacity.
How did they overcome their problem? What was the answer?
I wish I knew, sir.
So do I, Dr. Hopkins. Now it's your job to find out.
Well, I'd like to thank all of you from the press for being here. A member of our team will be passing out some press packets about Ex Nihilo, the Speedwell, and a creationist perspective on outer space. Jonathan, are you ready to get started?
Sure, Dad.
So when does Ex Nihilo plan to take its qualification flight?
Well, we're planning on sometime tomorrow morning at the Ex Nihilo Mojave facility in California, if we can resolve some problems.
Since part of the purpose of this expedition is to study God's creation, we'd now like to present several clips from a very special documentary called The Created Cosmos. You ready, Thad?
Yes.
Great. Roll them.
At last, we begin to see the large-scale structure of the universe. The galaxy.
Here you go, ma'am. Wait a minute. Has this packet got some religious stuff in it?
Well, I suppose you could say that.
Okay. Here, I'll take that part out, and you can have that.
Why?
Oh, I once did the whole church thing when I was a kid, but I outgrew it.
What do you mean?
Look, it may be a nice little faith when you're young, but when you're older, you begin to realize the Bible's a fairy tale. The real world just doesn't line up.
Do you have an example?
Sure. One day in Sunday school, my teacher was telling us about the animals getting into the ark. Suddenly, I began wondering, is this for real? Was it really two of every animal? Would that include dinosaurs? How could they all fit on one boat? The teacher had no answers. That's when I began to realize it all comes down to faith.
But ma'am, did you know that someone's figured out how many species would have to go on the ark, and they all would fit, with quite a bit of room left over?
I'm sure they have. But as I looked into it, I found all kinds of other conflicts, like the age of the Earth, evolution, and many others.
But there are answers to all of this.
I'm sure there are. But what about when there isn't? What happens when we don't have an answer? Whenever I present this problem to Christians, they simply say, God's bigger than our understanding, that we have to simply trust God. So, what about you? Do you agree?
Well, yes, we all believe what we believe by faith. It's a faith built on the truth of...
It's choosing to believe in spite of the facts. After that day in Sunday school, I made a decision to no longer trust my emotional need for a God, but to trust in my own intellect and what I can observe and explain. Since then, I've never been back to the church.
But what if your intellect is wrong?
Okay, I'll see you later, kid. Hey, Ralph, I want you to get a close-up of the Ex Nihilo headquarters.
Wow, all of that because of what seemed to be conflict between science and the Bible.
Still invisible from this distance. The Earth may seem an insignificant speck compared to all that God created. Yet, this tiny world is where God placed the crowning jewels of His creation. Of all that the Lord created, human beings alone have the privilege of being made in God's own image. And though we have rebelled against our Creator, He's paid the penalty for our treason. It was on this small planet where the Creator of the universe became a man and died our death. He then rose again and has offered forgiveness for all who call upon His name. It is fitting that we should honor God for who He is and for what He has done.
Can you believe it? We're in the bottom of the ninth inning of the Regional Little League Championship with two outs. Kirk Morgan is up and back with the Roadrunners down by 1 point.
Oh, Miles, they're so close.
Come on, Kirk. Hit it out of the park, son. Remember, choke up with your bat. Attaboy.
Another windup and the pitch. Oh, wow, it looks like a home run.
He did it. Did you see
Kirk
that?
Morgan.
I saw it, Miles. I saw. Miles. Miles.
Miles?
Huh? What?
Daydreaming?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my son used to play ball in a field just like this.
Thank you for meeting in a vacant baseball field.
Well, you know, we gotta stay low profile.
Okay. Dilt says good work on the speedball sabotage. Your ID got you through?
Yeah. They never noticed it was a forgery.
Good. Here's your payoff for the time being. $15,000 in cash. Don't spend it all in one place.
Hmm? Yeah. Thanks. I might just do that. There's something I need to take care of.
Rocket Ship 1 will make their qualification flight tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Creation Response Team, for meeting me out here in this courtyard at the end of the day.
You're welcome.
No problem.
This area looks a bit like it's still under construction.
True, but for now, I want to welcome you to the Courtyard of the Heavenlies.
The Courtyard of the Heavenlies? What's that?
I'll answer with a riddle. What does our spaceship, the Speedwell, have to do with the creation of the universe?
Well, I've been wondering how we'll include the creation message while promoting the Speedwell.
Jim, here in this courtyard, using sculptures, murals, and other creative media, it will become a media spectacle of its own. Direct their attention toward the changes happening here in the courtyard, and use it to teach creation.
That's awesome! Mm.
Alexander, this is brilliant!
Yes. Now let me demonstrate. Hunter, can you turn on the optics?
Yes, sir. I'll have it for you in a few moments.
Thank you. So what was the very first event recorded in Genesis?
In the beginning, God created the heavens.
Exactly.
Here it comes.
Oh! Wow!
Whoa!
It lights up.
It looks like a
dark, swirling vapor.
Mr. DeMarcus, you've turned the concrete into a video screen.
How'd you do that?
The slabs of this courtyard are made with a new process in which hundreds of fiber optics are embedded into every square inch of the concrete. It's similar to a new technology known as Lightstone.
So these swirling gas clouds are the creation of the heavens?
Yes, we did our best to represent such an unfathomable event. So what did God actually create?
Well, Alexander, I know the late Dr. Henry Morris often pointed out that he believed it was the creation of the triune universe.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, Kirk, as you know, the Bible teaches that God is in three persons. Matthew 28:19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost."
God is in three distinct personages, and yet is one God.
Exactly. Now, it appears God created the universe in a similar fashion, in three parts that comprise one.
What were the three parts again?
We believe that original creation of the universe would include space, time, and energy or matter.
All three are distinct, and yet for the universe to exist, all three are present at all points. Three distinct components which add up to one complete universe.
So it appears that the very universe itself demonstrates the attributes of God, its creator.
That's true.
That's right. That's like the start of Romans 1:20. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead."
CRT, do you see? This courtyard sparks an entire conversation about creation. This is how I want you to use it with the media. Okay, gang. In the morning, we're going to attempt our qualifying flight. So you all need to get some sleep.
Welcome to the Mojave facility.
Thank you. Well, Stan, I think we should station a few more men on the west end and double the guard around these hangars.
Mr. DeMarcus!
Sir, the competition
well,
has been...
Hopkins, Carver, slow down. What's the matter?
Turn on the TV.
And this is Johnny Alvarado, and we're here at Salt Lake Airstrip, where Rocket Ship 1 has just met the test flight qualifications for the Star Walker Prize. Mm. The whirlwind ceremonies are now underway, and Derek Diltz, CEO of Rocket Ship 1, is stepping to the podium to make a statement.
Today's been a personal victory for me and also Rocket Ship 1. Next, we fully intend to be the first to host a private spacewalk. See if you can keep up, Ex Nihilo.
It'll be interesting to see if billionaire Alexander DeMarcus can overcome his fuel problems in time to stay in the race.
Well, I guess any advantage we had has just disappeared.
Sir, we've been doing some calculations, and I think we could use conventional rocket fuel for our qualifying flight.
I'm listening.
If we strip the spacecraft down to the bare minimum, that reduction in weight could make it into orbit.
Meanwhile, we'll continue working to recreate Dr. Berger's fuel before the actual flight and spacewalk.
Keep working on it. For now, we just need to qualify. So, Creation Response Team, here it is. What do you think of the Speedwell?
Wow, that's amazing.
Look here. It attaches underneath the carrier aircraft, Thunderbird 7.
That's the big silver plane in the next hangar that looks like a boomerang?
Yes, exactly. When the carrier plane reaches the correct altitude, the pilot initiates the release and drops the spacecraft. Then the spacecraft engages its own thruster rockets and blasts off into space, accelerating to a speed of 17,000 miles an hour.
Whoa! Wow, that's very fast.
Thank you all for being here at our pre-flight press conference here at Ex Nihilo, Mojave. My name is Jonathan Park, and I want to introduce the pilot of our rocket, Andy Riffenbacher.
Hello. Our team's been praying a lot about this, and we trust the Lord for victory.
And this is Charlie King, who will be our capcom.
Today, with the Lord's blessing, we will break into space and proclaim the glory of our Creator.
As we mentioned, this is called the Courtyard of the Heavenlies. As Ex Nihilo's journeys closer to their walk in space, you'll see this courtyard journey through the creation of the universe.
How can a cutting-edge entrepreneur like DeMarcus hold to such antiquated ideas?
Well, look around you at this courtyard. Its expanse has been designed to show the vastness of the universe, one that gives testimony to the one who made it.
Whenever there's a scientific phenomenon that can't be explained, it seems creationists simply claim that God did a miracle. Would you say that that's true when it comes to the beginning of the universe?
Yes, actually, we believe creation was a supernatural act of God. But, sir, naturalists have the same problem.
In what way?
Well, whenever they observe a scientific phenomenon that can't be explained, they just claim science hasn't yet discovered how it works in their theory. For example, where did all the matter in the universe come from? I mean, many naturalists say they don't know, but still claim with confidence that it fits with their naturalistic theories. But in the end, the evidence fits better with our explanation. The law of conservation says that new mass or energy cannot be destroyed or created, only change forms. But then where did matter and energy come from in the first place? Its very appearance breaks the laws of science and therefore presents an unsolvable problem for those that say that there's only a natural origin for the universe.
So what about for the creationists?
What we observe fits the creation account. A creator supernaturally spoke all matter and energy into existence and established the law of conservation that is in effect to this very day. In the Bible, John 1:3 says of Christ, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made.
And with that, I have gotten word that we need to end this conference so we can get Andy, Charlie, and the CRT ready for the launch. We'll keep you appraised of events as they unfold today. Thank you for coming.
Wow, this is an incredible control room.
So, Charlie, give us a rundown on who's who.
Well...
Control, this is spacecraft Speedwell. DMS pressure on. Cabin vent complete. Over.
Roger, we see that. Out. That was Andy in the Speedwell.
Control, this is Thunderbird 7. Radio check.
Roger, out. And that's Scott in the carrier plane, Thunderbird 7. Remember, the Speedwell's attached underneath Scott's plane.
So what's the status?
Well, Thunderbird 7's engines are warmed up and ready for takeoff. And the Speedwell just performed a final systems check, so we're ready to go.
Excellent. Let's get started.
Yes, sir.
Control, this is Speedwell. Flight plan is loaded into the computer. Over.
We read and understand you, Thunderbird 7. You are clear for takeoff. Out.
Roger. Stand by. Systems are a green light.
Very good, Thunderbird 7. 10, 9, 8, 7... 6, 5, throttle engines, 3,
throttling engines.
2, 1, ignition.
And we have ignition.
There they go!
Wow, look at that.
We have liftoff. You have cleared the runway. All engines look good. Out.
Main engines at 65%. The Speedwell and Thunderbird 7 are go. Thunderbird 7 to Speedwell. Prepare for launch. Are you ready to disengage? Over.
Affirmative. All systems go. Over.
Ground control. Are we clear for launch of spacecraft Speedwell? Over.
Thunderbird 7, you are clear. Speedwell prepared to disengage from the carrier plane. Over.
Standing by. Starting countdown timer now. And here we go. Oh, no. Come on. Come on. Speedwell to ground control. I have not disengaged from the carrier plane. Repeat, have not disengaged from carrier plane. Over.
What? Speedwell, engage automatic override immediately.
Ground control, I'm trying, but the circuit's functionality is negative. I cannot disconnect from Thunderbird 7.
Speedwell, separation is imperative. The automatic booster program is still locked on, but I cannot release the Speedwell.
My rocket boosters are about to fire.
Oh, no. Abort the countdown. Abort, abort, abort!
Functionality negative on that as well. The countdown will not, or repeat, will not abort.
The Speedwell's rockets will fire any second. The carrier plane can't take the strain of having those boosters ignite.
If the Speedwell doesn't disconnect, both of them will explode into a ball of flame.
Dr. Hopkins, what can we do? We need a solution now.
I don't know. If the automatic system's down, they can't separate. It appears the release circuit is short and keeping the docking clamps locked in place.
Andy, you can eject from the Speedwell.
But as soon as these rockets ignite, it'll destroy the carrier plane. Scott can't eject from Thunderbird 7.
Andy, don't stick around for me.
We're both in this together, Scott, and if so, we'll go down together.
Is there some way to manually disconnect them?
Manually? Yes, that's it. We may not have enough time before the rocket boosters come on.
Well, it's the only chance we've got.
So how do I do it?
The docking circuit's shorted. We need to find a way to break the connection. See the blue panel above your head?
I see it.
Pull that straight down.
Got it.
All right, do you see the red box?
I see it.
Inside's the circuit that controls the docking clamp. We need to break the circuit to cut power. If you hit the panel hard enough, you can get inside.
Hit it with what?
Whatever you've got.
How about a fire extinguisher?
Try it.
Andy, come on. You've only got a few more seconds.
I almost have it.
Andy, eject now.
No, I can do this.
Charlie, the count?
The Speedwell's thruster will fire in 20, 19,
dear Lord,
18,
save them.
17, 16,
Andy, you're not going to make it. Save
14,
yourself.
13,
I got it.
12,
no one.
11,
look for the blue relay
10,
and yank it out of the socket.
9, 8,
yes, got it.
7,
right.
6,
now.
5,
I'm
4, 3,
go,
2, 1, 0. Ignition.
Speedwell's away. Over.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Way to go, Speedwell. We were just about to turn blue down here. In another few seconds, he'll reach the qualifying altitude.
It won't be long now. Oh, praise the Lord.
He's going to make it.
Speedwell to ground control. Now approaching qualifying altitude in T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. I've achieved orbit. Over.
All right! Yeah!
Speedwell, what do you see?
Oh, it's beautiful. I can see the horizon beyond it and feel the weightlessness. Earth looks like a swirly blue marble. God's creation is awfully pretty from up here.
Speedwell, you have all of us here on Earth listening to your transmission. What do you want to say?
To all of you on Earth, I must say that I now have a bird's eye view of Earth. Maybe more of a perspective of how the Creator sees us. It reminds me of what I read in Isaiah, written hundreds of years before man would ever come to a consensus. Chapter 40:22 says, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in."
Yes, another reminder of the Bible's accuracy as it described the spherical shape of the earth.
And Job 26:7, "He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing." God is worthy of our praise.
Roger that. Okay, altitude confirmed. Speedwell, congratulations. Mission accomplished.
Roger, Control. I am headed for home. Over and out.
We appreciate your patience. Your call is important to us. Please wait on the line and your call will be answered in the order in which it is received.
Come on.
Hello, this is Brian, employee number 1M666. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Melissa Morgan. I received a notice that my house is in foreclosure and I need to know how long I have to get out. My loan number is 10777-3498.
Okay, one moment, ma'am. I'm not showing your house on my foreclosure list.
What? But the notice from the marshal said I had 3 days.
Well, I'm showing your loan is paid current, ma'am. In fact, it's paid up to 6 months out.
What? Who paid it?
I have no idea, ma'am. It was a cash payment. Is there anything more I can help you with?
No. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling First Benson Loan.
I don't understand how this could be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And now let's go to our reporter on the ground, Anna Todd, in the Mojave Desert of Southern California, where the Ex Nihilo spacecraft Speedwell has just qualified to compete for the Starwalker Prize. Anna?
Thanks, Peter. The crowd erupted moments ago in applause when, after experiencing technical difficulties, the Speedwell made a rocky ascent into orbit. The mothership Thunderbird 7 that carries the spacecraft is now on the ground, rolling to a stop amid a throng of well-wishers.
I'm not happy, Miles. Not happy. Tell me what went wrong.
Well, I sabotaged the release mechanism so the Speedwell couldn't disconnect. When the rocket kicked in, it should have ripped them both to shreds.
But it didn't, Miles. Why?
I'm not sure.
You failed, Miles. You've been paid good money and you say it's already spent?
Now look, even your baboons couldn't get a man on the inside like I did. I know what I'm doing. Just leave it to me and you'll win your little prize.
I better, Miles. That's $20 million. And securing our company as the next leader in space. And I can be a very sore loser.
And here comes the Speedwell. Oh, it's a beautiful approach. The sparkling ship is just above the runway now. And there's the touchdown. The crowd's rushing out to the runway and cheers and flying boats. The excitement level here is beyond compare.
Andy, my boy, you did it!
Thank you, sir. Praise God, I made it!
Amen. You were cutting it awfully close, but he got you back safe.
Good job, Andy.
Mr. Rickenbacker, that was great.
Coming through here.
Well, Mr. DeMarcus, I'm Harold Patterson, head official for the Starwalker Prize. You've officially qualified to compete in our competition.
Rick sucks space!
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Race for Space. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team and Ex Nihilo train hard for their spacewalk in Jonathan Park, preparing for flight.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.